from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
There we go. Happy Wednesday. Headlines on Softie and Dick, brought to you by Buddy's Goodies and Glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's.
And that's what Kitchens wanted today. A lot of chub.
All right. Nothing confirmed yet by anybody except for Adam Schefter, which I guess is that good enough for us? I mean, that's like a pretty a chef
gold,
bomb. Is there a chef
standard.
Bomb? Reporting yesterday, Seahawks are hiring Rams pass game coordinator Shane Waldron as their new OC. 41, that's right, 41 years old, been with the Rams since 2017, spent time with the Pats in 2008 and 2009.
Florida Gators offensive coordinator Brian Johnson leaving college football to become the Eagles quarterbacks coach, and former Heisman runner-up Josh Heupel has been named the new head coach at Tennessee.
Josh Heupel, Oklahoma?
Yes, sir.
Right?
Lost the title game.
How about this college football? Cale Millen, you know that name?
I do.
Son of Hugh. Announcing yesterday, after 2 years at Oregon, he will enter the transfer portal and leave the Oregon Ducks.
All right. Now I can root for whatever team Cale Millen plays for, which is I wasn't able to do that before. Pat Fitzgerald has agreed to a 10-year extension to stay at Northwestern, where he has won 106 games. He's gone to 10 bowl games. He's been there 15 years as the head coach, Pat Fitzgerald.
And Jason Witten, former Cowboy.
How about them Cowboys?
11-time Pro Bowl tight end, 2-time first-team All-Pro, spent 16 years with the Cowboys. Number 2 all-time in receptions and yards among tight ends behind Tony Gonzalez, spent this last year with the Raiders, announcing his retirement from the NFL for the second time after 17 years. Remember, he called it quits in 2017 to go work for ESPN on maybe the worst Monday night broadcast crew of all time. And said to himself, you know what? I don't want this on my tombstone that I work with Booger and Joe. I'm out of here. I'd rather get my head bashed in the NFL. So I'm going back to the league, and now he's calling it quits for the second time. I need some clarification on something before we get to the Shane Waldron conversation. You said in the update at 3 o'clock that the NCAA is going to encourage teams that have a great shot of making the tournament or that are on the bubble to not leave the conference tournament sites. Explain that to me.
Well, let me.
What's the story again?
Yeah,
bring that up, because I know it's easy for me to get confused by a lot of stuff, and that confused me when I first heard that. So I'd like to hear more about that.
Sounds like the NCAA wants to isolate these teams as best as possible that are going to be going on to the NCAA tournament. So let's say you're a 2 seed
right
in the Big 12.
Okay.
And you know, bracketology says you're a 5 seed in the tournament. You're going regardless what happens.
Yeah, you're in, right.
They want you, as soon as you lose, not to go back home, not to go back to class, not to go back see your family, whatever. They want you to stay there in that already kind of bubble situation and then go directly to Indianapolis where they tell you to go.
So let's say, for example, I don't know, give me a good team, Baylor, right, whatever.
Sure.
Baylor loses in the first round of the Big 12 tournament.
Yep. They're supposed to stay at the Big 12 tournament.
For 4 days.
For 4 days. Yes. I mean, is that a big... I mean, if I'm
And do
Baylor,
what?
Well, if I'm Baylor, I mean, I actually kind of like that as opposed to, okay, well, we're going to fly all the way back home. We're going to unpack. Then we're going to pack in 3 more days and fly out to Indianapolis. So, or in, you know, not 3 days, but in 4 or 5 days and fly out to Indianapolis. I mean, you're going to be bubbled wherever you are.
Sure, exactly.
So I guess the NCAA figures, you're not doing anything at home anyway.
Well, where is the Big 12 tournament? Kansas City?
Usually.
I mean, it's not far from home. It's a 90-minute flight, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. I just kind of feel like, you know, let the kids go home. And, I mean, they're going to do at home. The only difference is the flight that they're taking. They're going to go home and likely do the exact same thing there that they would have done hanging out at the conference tournament, which is wait and do nothing.
Well, I think the NCAA is doing everything they possibly can to get as close to a COVID-free tournament as they possibly can, because they know that that would just, I mean, think about the disaster that the potential we have having in the NCAA tournament. I mean, what happens? And they also came out today with another part of the story. They're not going to pause the tourney. They're not going to pull the Colin Cowherd. Sorry, Corey Kispert can't play for Gonzaga, therefore Gonzaga gets to wait 3 extra days. No, it's not going to work that way. You're going to have to play with whoever you have to play with.
So what happens then if, okay, let me just paint that picture then for a second. So let's say a team wins in the second round, and they're on the way to the Sweet 16, which I think is now 2 days later. Is that correct?
Whatever. Yes, it's, that sounds right. I haven't memorized this weird
right,
new
but
schedule.
They've shortened the gap considerably. So let's say that team is Gonzaga, just for shiggles and gits.
Okay.
And Gonzaga's on the way to the Sweet 16. All of a sudden, contact tracing, whatever, they can't play. Then what? The team they beat gets to go?
I think it's a forfeit.
It's a forfeit. And that team then moves on to the Elite Eight automatically.
So. Okay. I believe so. I mean, if that's what I'm reading into this, that they are not going to, quote, pause the tourney if a top player or team has a positive COVID test.
Okay, good. That's fine. I mean, as long as you know going in.
Which I think that's how it should be.
Right. I agree with that. And I think that that is more incentive for these kids to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do. Because, hey, look, you are literally scaring the bejesus out of these kids by saying, dude, if you get COVID and you bring it into this locker room and we can't play and go to the Elite Eight, it's your fault.
I thought they should have done that for college football.
Right.
I mean, I thought there was way too much bending over backwards in college football, and there was not enough, you know, for lack of a better word, punishment for the teams that got sick and couldn't play games.
Yeah, and look, you can argue all you want about whether they should play or shouldn't play. This is going to be the rule. So whether you like it or not, this is the rule you got to play by. You can go have your own tournament where you don't give a damn, but this is the rule. Shane Waldron, I remember Jackson said yesterday off the air, he had, is it little faith?
Little faith.
I don't want to put words in your mouth. Little faith in the Seahawks doing the right thing. Did they do the right thing by hiring Shane Waldron?
I kind of think that they did. I hate to give Pete Carroll credit.
Why?
But
you're so mean.
Why do you hate to give Pete Carroll?
No, I mean, honestly, just joking aside, okay. I think Shane Waldron, based on the offense that we've seen the Rams run, and you guys went deep into the statistics earlier, I think that this is the right type of guy that can merge the run, the play action, the pass, DK Metcalf deep, which they loved. I kind of like it. I hate to say it. I really thought they were going to fail miserably.
You're saying you were
wrong.
I kind of
like it. Yes, I was wrong. I was wrong.
The guy hasn't called one play in the NFL, and Jackson's already admitting he was wrong.
I like the Rams' offense. I like what I've seen.
Well, I've got a question for Softy, because I want to know if he intentionally tweets out things to try to incite a negative response.
What I do?
And try to incite the Jackson Feltz negative Seahawk Nation on Twitter. Because
what are you referring to?
I'm referring to a tweet you the first tweet. Yeah, now, technically, the second tweet you sent out last night about Waldron, because the first one was, and there it is, just retweeting Shepard.
Right, and it's showing you the,
But the first full sentences tweet by Dave Softy Mahler last night was, Shane Waldron has never called plays in the NFL, was the OC at a place called Buckingham Brown and Nichols School in 2011, has been the Rams pass game coordinator since 2018. I read that and immediately went, oh my God, what are the comments going to look like after that definitely negative-leaning tweet? Now, we found out that you admitted that you've got no idea the weather is going to be good or bad.
Yeah.
But did you do that intentionally to get Seahawks Twitter riled up?
What do you think?
Probably.
I don't think so. I mean, those are all facts.
Because you've done it before. Right.
Well, sure.
But you could choose 100 positive facts about him, or you could choose 100 negative facts about him, and you decided to go down the negative road.
Well, I don't know what is the most important thing that you want to know when the Seahawks hire an offensive coordinator for you personally?
Well, his resume, obviously.
Right. Has he called plays? What is he responsible for? Where has he been that's been a massive success? What quarterback can you look at where he worked and tutored under this guy and became a star in the NFL? I have a hard time giving, what's his name again? Waldron. Credit. I keep wanting to say Darnold, by the way, for some reason.
Sam Darnold.
Is it McVay or is it this guy? Is it the other quarterback coach that he got bumped for? Or is it this guy? So, look, I mean, it's why I asked Mike, you know, how concerned are you? How problematic is it that you got a guy who's never called plays in the NFL ever? And those are the facts. And maybe it doesn't bother people. Maybe it shouldn't bother me. Maybe all the guy needs is a chance. And once he gets the chance, he's going to be phenomenal. But I don't know. I mean, maybe I was, you know, subconsciously trying to stir something up. But I'm just throwing facts at you. And I have no idea where the hell that school is. Is that a school or like a little club he was at? Buckingham, is that in England? Buckingham Brown and Nichols School. Is that a private school? What is that?
I think it was a private school.
Okay.
I'm happier about where, I'm kind of leaning with Jackson. Like, to me, the bigger thing is the Rams. The bigger thing is Sean McVay and working under Sean McVay. I would much rather have a guy that has not called plays and worked under this type system for the last few years than to hire some schmeckle from a terrible football team with no culture whatsoever that called plays for three or four seasons.
Yeah, I mean, I'm much more excited about this than I would have been Joe Lombardi. I'll tell you that, right?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I mean, Joe Lombardi was fired by the Lions and did what? I mean, what the
perfect
hell?
Perfect example.
If Joe Lombardi's last name was Smith, I mean, come on, man, right? I mean, he's lucky to have the last name Lombardi, let's be honest. And if you can ride nepotism all the way to the NFL, then go for it. I'm sure Joe has proven his mettle since he's been here, but I mean, you want a positive something out of this? How about, was it the game against the Seahawks where they ran, what game did they run the hook and ladder on the 2-point conversion? The Rams.
They ran against us, didn't they?
There you go. And I'm watching that thinking, man, you don't see any of that stuff from the Seahawks.
So I've said that 50 times watching Rams Seahawks.
If he can bring a little bit of that spice that they got from the Rams to the Seahawks, then hey, I'd be like Tom Hanks in Castaway. This could work. This might work. You never know. I just, you know, look, you guys are over the moon. You guys are fired up. I'm not there yet. You know, let's see what happens during the season. But I would have been way more critical of this hire if it was a guy like we said, like Joe Lombardi. Lindsay Theory, do we trust her evaluation?
Yes.
Okay,
of course.
She's going to tell us if this was the right hire, and if we should be excited. Whatever Lindsay Theory tells us to think is what we're going to think. Next on KJ.
What you love.
You're listening to Softy and Dick. Now, back to the show. Ladies and gentlemen.
Was he in or was he out? It's brought to you by In-N-Out Burger. That's what a hamburger is all about.
Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
Normally, you'd be hearing at 420 on a Wednesday this guy's voice.
Not that I'm a smart guy. I'm stupid.
But he is not feeling well today. Oh, poor Petros, man. He's home with his binky, chicken soup, the whole thing. Hopefully feeling better and back on the mend. And we'll get him on the air next week. But these are big shoes to fill. This is the primo position right here on the marquee.
She can do it.
Oh, my God. I mean, this is, you talk about a woman who has made a big-time rise in her career, going from Mariner ball girl back in the day to covering the Rams for ESPN. Now she's in the same segment, usually occupied by Petros Papadakis.
Not that I'm a smart guy. I'm stupid.
What do you feel about this opportunity here, Lindsay?
Well, let me be clear. I was the Mariners Fry girl, Fry girl.
My fault.
Fry girl.
What exactly is a fry girl, by the way? What does a fry girl do?
Delivers the rally fries. Gotcha. Rest in peace to the rally fries. I was a glorified fry deliverer.
Okay, sorry.
And two, if I knew I was filling in for Petros, I would have dressed up for the occasion. My goodness, this is an honor.
Huge honor.
To suck the Kraken's tentacle.
Well, we know we just classed up the joint big time with you. Well, Lindsay Theory's back with us. Appreciate you doing this. And you and I were talking briefly last night. I mean, you grew up in the area, so you were a Seahawks fan, obviously, as a kid. Now you cover the Rams, so you know both franchises. And Dick and I really have a hard time thinking for ourselves, to be totally honest with you. So we would just like you to decide our opinion for us. Should we be excited or should we be concerned about Shane Waldron being the new Seahawks OC?
I don't know that you should be excited. I also don't know that you should be concerned. I think you should just kind of be like, okay, this is what it is. It's a really interesting hire. I mean, for us covering the Rams down here, a little bit out of the blue. Shane Waldron was a name after the 2018 season. He got a shot at the Bengals head coaching job. Of course, his coworker at the Rams ended up getting that job instead. Shane Waldron split kind of OC duties, if you will, with their offensive line coaches, passing game coordinator, run game coordinator. But I think what was really interesting, and I hate to say a little bit, I don't want to say damning, but a little makes you cautious about what this hire is that the Rams offense in 2019 was not where Sean McVay wanted it to be. So he went out and brought in a new offensive coordinator, which is a little bit, I think, of an indictment against maybe Shane Waldron and Aaron Cromer, who had kind of the co-OC duties to some degree. And did you go outside and bring in someone new rather than kind of lean in on your own guys and have them come up with a new plan? But also, let's keep in mind that very convoluted kind of offense down here. Sean McVay is the offensive coordinator. Sean McVay is the play caller. How much of a duty the other guys underneath him have is still kind of a mystery 4 years in, because when it comes to his offense, Sean McVay is known to be a bit of a control freak.
Do we know what his strengths are?
He's a good communicator. He's a very good communicator. He is a pro. He is, I think he's a positive reinforcement kind of guy. You know, the thing is, you've never heard a bad thing about Shane Waldron. You know, he doesn't rock the boat down here. But that being said, I also haven't heard anything as far as him really kind of lighting up the room as far as his game plans or what he has to say. It's just, I hate to say someone just kind of like exists, but he's part of the staff and he's a pro and he's a positive reinforcement guy, but I haven't heard anything that makes you get really, really excited about what he brings to the table. On the other hand, I haven't heard anything that makes you feel bad about what he brings to the table.
Is it possible that he did not get the OC job a couple years ago, Lindsay, like you're talking about, because he simply put was just too green? He was too young.
You know, that could be possible, except for when you look at who Sean McVay hired. I mean, he hired a young DC. He hired Kevin O'Connell, these guys are all in their 30s. So it could be an age thing, but Sean McVay was hired as head coach when he was 30. So I don't know that age really has much to do with it as much as, you know, I think Sean McVay often looks for outside influences. It's an interesting time right now because on this staff, at least, there isn't a lot of promotion within. It seems like guys really kind of have to leave this staff to get bigger opportunities. So on that aspect, it's like I'm really actually very eager to see what Shane Waldron has to bring, because I don't know that with the Rams, he was given the full opportunity to lay out what his plan was, what he wanted to do, and what his vision was. Because, again, everyone is really just kind of putting the plan together under Sean McVay, who ultimately is the offensive coordinator, is the play caller.
You mentioned he had a chance a couple years ago to get the Bengals head job. I'm actually kind of surprised if he's on a list for a head job that he wouldn't have gotten an OC job somewhere else, either after 2018 or after 2019, especially when McVay said all those glowing things about him. Why do you think that he wasn't hired anyplace else the last two off seasons?
Well, yeah, I don't think that many people were clamoring to get a hold of what the Rams were doing on offense after this last year, right? We saw them get stopped in the worst way in the Super Bowl, and suddenly the shine wore off the Sean McVay offense very quickly last year, and same thing this year. And right now the Rams obviously are kind of putting the blame of there on Jared Goff, but right now it just seems like NFL defenses have caught up to what the Rams are doing. And so I think that really has more to do with it than anything else. You know, there was that hiring frenzy of, you know, if you're Sean McVay's mailman, you're going to get an NFL job after 2018.
Yeah.
But that, to some degree, that cooled off quite quickly.
What about Sean McVay's dentist?
Yeah, he has nice teeth.
Yeah, or
Where's Gardner? Yeah, maybe Softy. That was really random.
Well, you just mentioned if you were his mailman, you were getting a head coaching job. So I just want to know how far that bubble extends. That's my whole point here. But Lindsay Theory is with us on the air. And, you know, what kind of guy is he? You know, what kind of personality does he have? Because now he's going to be in charge of an offense, unless Pete Carroll sticks his nose in there, which he very well may. He's going to be in charge of guys like DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson and Dwayne Brown and Tyler Lockett and Will Disley and maybe even guys like Chris Carson. What kind of personality does the guy have?
Yeah, I think he's a pro. Look, he spoke to reporters on the podium every other week for 2 years. He's an absolute pro. I don't want to say he's mild-mannered. I think he's got some fire in him, but he's pretty even-keeled. He's a voice of reason. He is incredibly nice. You know, when you guys talk to him, I mean, Softy, you're going to have to be nice. The guy is really, really nice.
Mm.
You know, but it's going to be interesting, right? We have never seen him. I don't know that the Rams have maybe some of the personalities that the Seahawks have. So it's going to be really interesting to see in those kind of situations if he has frustrated DK Metcalf because of Jalen Ramsey, you know, how he takes that on and calms him down. So I think this is a really big job, but he's a pro. And I think that he is worthy of the chance. I wish I could give you guys a better prediction about how I think it's going to go. But the fact of the matter is, like, his role down here just wasn't that prominent. So you really couldn't get a good gauge of how much of a role he played really behind the scenes.
Well, you mentioned the shine wearing off, and certainly they didn't rank nearly where they were in 2018. But how much of that was getting figured out, and how much was just a lack of talent? I mean, there's just not a lot of electric guys on that team, especially now that, you know, Todd Gurley got hurt and now he's gone. I mean, Cam Akers is the best thing this offense has seen in 2 years.
Yeah, and it's really kind of funny how quickly an offense can go stale, but you're exactly right. When you look at the playmakers, I mean, the Rams, Robert Woods is a solid, solid receiver. So is Cooper Kupp. But they just don't, they don't have a DK Metcalf. I don't even know, I mean, maybe you could say Robert's kind of a Tyler Lockett type. But they just don't have, like, kind of that superstar, whether it's out of the backfield or that deep threat receiver who can really just blow the top off a defense. I think there's questions about the offensive line and how kind of nasty they are, a little too soft maybe. So I think some of it has to do with personnel. But right now, the blame on the personnel is being put on Jared Goff's shoulders.
Yeah.
So it's really kind of interesting about how much of this is just the offensive system in itself. How much is it like you mentioned, not really having a super explosive guy on the unit.
Would you have any problem trusting him to call plays? He's never done that before.
Oh, I think he did in a preseason game. That counts for something.
Again, he's never done it before, would you?
Stop me. You know, I was very big on not hiring a coordinator who never called plays. When Brandon Staley came to the Rams in D.C. this last year, I was like, oh, red flag. This guy has never called plays in the NFL. This is terrifying. This is scary. And look, he proved me incredibly, incredibly wrong. You know, does Shane Waldron have that potential? Absolutely. I think he does. I mean, if anything, he's probably been building his portfolio and building his plays and saving all of his bullets, right, over the last few years working under Sean McVay, which, again, Sean McVay is taking some hits right now but continues to be one of the brightest offensive minds in the NFL. So I think that Shane Waldron has plenty in his pocket. I would not be too concerned. I mean, I think he's very, very bright, very intelligent. I think that he has the ability to do the job. It's just really interesting that this is the opportunity he's getting to work with Russell Wilson just because, again, he's never been an OC in the NFL before.
Well, no team's had the defections like Sean McVay's had the defections in his coaching staff over the last month. So how much of a toll do these losses take on those guys?
Yeah, I think it's going to take a toll. And it's really, like I said, it's been interesting. Sean McVay's hired 5 new coordinators over the last 2 seasons, and they've all been outside hires. So a lot of the guys that we're seeing leave are guys who haven't been promoted internally. So I think there's something there. And I think that ultimately, I mean, to have this much turnover on your staff, your third DC in 3 years, I think that will absolutely play an impact on the Rams. Offense, I don't know how much, you know, I was asked earlier how much of a loss Shane Waldron is, and I don't want to knock on the guy. But again, this is Sean McVay's offense. Sean McVay has kind of done what he's wanted to do. He calls the plays.
Yep.
So I'm not sure if that's going to be terribly difficult for the Rams to replace. But I think more so on the defensive side of the ball, it's kind of a bit alarming, some of the losses they've had.
Well, I would also just say this, from the Rams' perspective, Lindsay Theory with us, that if losing your passing game coordinator is a gigantic loss for the Rams and the Rams' coaching staff isn't structured properly, I mean, that's crazy to think that maybe, you know, your fourth or fifth most important assistant head coach, or excuse me, coach, would be the death knell to your franchise. That's nuts. So it shouldn't be that big a deal. You know, I just wonder, though, you know, Zach Taylor, you mentioned him, he was the Rams' QB coach, and 18, they went to the Bengals, and they got worse offensively. And I know Burrow got banged up, so it's kind of hard to tell from this last year, but we'll see. I mean, I'm just kind of concerned about this he's a nice guy thing. So if he's not getting the job done, and Dick and I want to go on the air and criticize the guy, you're saying we're going to go home and feel bad about it?
No, well, maybe. I mean, I even just question, I will say this. I'm a pretty hard-nosed reporter, and, you know, you tend to say what's on my mind, for better or for worse. But Shane Waldron is so nice that it's even hard to kind of sit here and question whether or not he will be a good OC, because he's like that nice. I hope the best for him. I really do, because, you know, I think he's put in his time. I think he's really smart. I think he can do it. But you really don't know. Like you said, I mean, there's the head coach who's the play caller. There's the offensive coordinator. Then you have, like, these other guys with coordinator titles that really, how much more input, how many cooks in the kitchen can you really have, right?
Tell us about Jared Goff and these comments by Les Snead. Does this mountain out of a molehill stuff, or is Les Snead really ticked off at Jared Goff and wants him out of here?
Well, I don't think Les Snead's ticked off at Jared Goff. I think Sean McVay's ticked off at Jared Goff and really wants him out of here. And I think his general manager is being supportive. By his general manager, I mean Sean McVay's general manager and boss, Les Snead. I definitely think there's something here. I think the Rams are exploring how to unload Jared Goff. That's going to be a huge feat with that contract. But I wouldn't be stunned if he is not a Ram next year. I'd be even less surprised if he's not the Rams starting quarterback next year.
Right.
You know, it's something happened here. I mean, this has been building over two seasons from my understanding, and it really kind of came to a head when Sean McVay had the opportunity to put in John Wolford and kind of see what he could do with a quarterback with different skill sets. And I think that's kind of where the breaking point came of Sean McVay making up his mind that he's probably ready to move on from Jared Goff.
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, great stuff. I apologize for referring to you as a ball girl when you are indeed a fry girl. We all know that was in a just totally different stratosphere. So I apologize for the mistaken identity there. And now I can just smell those garlic fries in the back of my head.
Rally fries were good, man.
Thanks. That has stuck with me for the rest of the day, or it will stick with me. Lindsay, awesome stuff. We appreciate the update. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Guys, thanks for having me.
You bet. Lindsay Theory. So, I don't know, you feel better, you feel worse? I mean, she says he's a nice guy. He's a good guy. He's a sweetheart of a guy. You know, you shouldn't be too fired up and shouldn't be too down about it. I mean, you know, it's...
Yay!
I mean, whatever. See what happens.
That was a meh emoji.
It really was.
15 minutes of... you know, if I was a 7 on a scale of 1 to 10, I'm now maybe a 6.5.
Gotcha.
She definitely didn't make me more confident.
Yeah, I just... in this business, what we do for a living, and you always say don't have the weasel option, right? Like last night.
Option.
Well, see, when you're busting my balls about what happened on Twitter last night, I thought you would give me some credit for the poll I put out yesterday, because I did not give people a weasel option.
Oh, no, I did see the poll. And it was actually optimistic, right?
Well, I just threw it out there. I just said, look, man, you know, what do you think of the hire? You know, you either love it or you hate it. There's no weasel option. 69%. How about that? 69% said they love it.
69.
So that's pretty good. I mean, if you're hitting on nearly 70%, I think if you're trying to win the PR battle, which I don't think Pete Carroll gives a damn about. You think Pete Carroll really is concerned? You think Pete Carroll hires this guy, the word gets out, and then he immediately jumps on Twitter to see what the fans think about the move? Maybe he does think that way. I got no idea. But almost 70% love the hire. So there you go.
He changed his whole offense due to social media, right? So maybe he would not hire a coach if the fans didn't want
it. Well, see, I think that to me is one of the positives, though, about this hire. That there was a fear that they would go out and just hire a boring guy who's going to run the ball 35 times a game. He's been around the NFL for a long time. He's set in his ways.
Right.
I think there is some room here for this thing to get maybe a little creative and a bit more creative, if not a lot more creative than it's been in the last maybe 3 or 4 years. I mean, he's hiring a young guy. He's, you know, barely 40 years old, for God's sakes, right? He's getting his first job in the NFL. Yes, there's no question that Pete Carroll is going to stick his nose in the briar patch because the guy's doing it for the very first time. But maybe after a few games and maybe after a year or so, the young guy looks at the old guy and says, dude, I got this, right?
Well,
I've proven to you I got it. Get out of my way. Let me run this rocket ship.
And anything that can shake up the Rams-Seahawks dynamic right now. Because it's a bad dynamic for the Seahawks. I mean, I honestly believe that if the Seahawks and Rams played 100 seasons, simulated seasons, the Hawks would have a better record in 60 or 70% of them. But I think the Rams would beat the Hawks in 60 or 70% of the games. There's just something about this matchup, and maybe you can shake it up a little bit, and stealing some of their offense or offensive wisdom might just do it.
Yeah, you never know. I mean, I think they're going to have to get better personnel at certain player at certain spots, including, you know, my take on the offensive line. I think they just need upgrades there. So for them to do what they want to do, they're going to have to make some changes personnel-wise, and that's going to become, that to me is almost a bigger challenge because of the lack of draft capital they've got. Can John Schneider do it again and turn water into wine? Can he turn chicken crap into chicken parmesan? And if he can pull it off, then, hey, it may not matter who the OC is. We're going to break, 439, Textimonials. What do you guys think? Shane Waldron.
Yay!
Passing game coordinator, L.A. Rams, is your new offensive coordinator. You fired up? You jacked up? Or you're like, nah. Or are you like, who the hell's that guy? Next on 950K.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Hey, let's get Hugh Millendick on the air.
You guys had what, Hugh Millendick?
At 5, and get just a quick thought from him, a little rapid reaction to the, what's his name again, the new OC?
Shane Waldron.
Shane Waldron hiring, and then Kevin Harlan's going to join us at 5:20 on the air. You know, Kevin's dad used to run the Packers back in the day, Bob Harlan. I wonder what Kevin thinks about Aaron Rodgers' comments after the game on Sunday and how he played in the game on Sunday. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, in the 5 NFC Championship games he's played in, has not been good. Got 9 touchdowns and 8 picks and a passer rating of 83.7 lifetime in the NFC Championship game. So I don't know.
He was the least of their problems.
I agree with that from this last game. Correct, yes. But he's thrown a pick in every NFC Championship. Wow. In 3 of the 5, he's thrown 2. All right, 49451, Shane Waldron reaction, Seahawks OC. What are we starting with here, by the way?
There's some fun stuff here.
I know you told me off the air, but I forgot. I tend to forget most of the stuff he tells me. Who are you again? Fun stuff. All right, 49451, go ahead.
You guys need to send Petro's, Softy's mom's matzo ball soup so he gets better.
Yeah, it's not really my mom's matzo ball soup.
Losers.
More of my dad making the matzo ball soup out of a box. I mean, that's kind of how we roll in my family. But it's damn good, man.
I don't think I've ever had matzo ball soup, but I'd like to try it.
Come on over. The key is not cooking the balls too long. If you cook the balls too long, the balls get hard.
I don't like when my
nobody wants hard balls. All right, what's next?
Rally fry girl, not a Mariners ball girl.
Sorry.
What is the matter with you? Check your facts.
Sorry, I apologize. My God, jeez. Did you know that she was an ex-Rally Fry girl at Safeco Field back in the day? She was on TV, Lindsay, constantly bringing people garlic fries. We used to go to games, which feels like forever ago.
It does.
And you knew when somebody ordered garlic fries in your section, and everybody gave that guy the stink eye. Oh, no, garlic fries. Did you have that same reaction?
Yes. I mean, I loved them when I was eating and did not like to sit next to somebody that was. Now, are they going to do anything now? Because there's no more chicken leg.
Right.
Or there's no more turkey leg. There's no more King's Court.
Yes.
The rally fries are done, I would imagine. So, like, what's next?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, make something up. Whatever you want. I mean, who do you got? You got Kyle Seager. You got Marco
Gonzalez.
You got some young guys, Evan White, Jared Kalanick coming up.
We got to figure something out.
I don't know. I mean, we got to have some kind of food item to relate to a player, or we're not doing things right. Never mind winning games. As long as we have some type of food item that we can associate with a player, we're doing just fine.
They've always gotten an A-plus of marketing over there.
Can you imagine if they ever started winning?
Yeah.
Dude, seriously.
Even negative Seahawks Twitter seems to be fairly receptive to Waldron.
Yeah, well, like that's said, man, 69%.
69.
of Seahawks fans are excited about the move. And I think, again, I think you're right, Dick, that part of this is grabbing somebody from the Rams. Because I think most people, when they still think about the Rams offense, they think about two things. Number one, the team that just beat us. And number two, an offense that, for the most part, the last 4 years has looked pretty good.
Looked very good and still was able to move the ball against the Seahawks defense that was, at the very least, you got to say very good. You don't have to call it elite or anything, but by the end of the year, they were a very good defense, and you took Jared Goff and that offense and scored 23 offensive points. I mean, that was impressive. They were far more prepared for that game than the Seahawks were. That's for sure.
Maybe the key is just having a quarterback with a busted thumb. Maybe the first thing Shane Waldron should do is break Russell's thumb when he shows up here. Crack! Now you're good to go. Now we can start moving ahead. What's next?
Russ can't throw the ball in the Rams' offense. It's deep ins and outs. Russ never can throw those due to vision issues.
Well, there's a lot of short, quick passes in the Rams' offense. I mean, last time I saw a lot of guys that were getting the ball quick and getting rid of the ball fast.
Moving the pocket.
Saw some creativity. I'm watching the freaking Chiefs in that game on Sunday thinking, I love how much Andy Reid moves the pocket for Patrick Mahomes.
Yes!
I mean, just love it. Can we do that? Is that available, or is that just exclusive to somebody else?
That would be nice. I've complained to Hugh about that before, and he says what he doesn't like about moving the pocket, and he's right, is it cuts down half the field.
Yeah.
But, hey, does it really? I mean, Russell Wilson's got a strong enough arm to roll right, plant, and throw to the left corner of the field.
Absolutely. I mean, how many times have we seen Russell Wilson rolling to his left and throwing back to his right on the move?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a question for you at 5 o'clock, but I don't know. I think with a pocket plant quarterback, that's a bigger concern. It should not be a concern with number 3. I don't know.
Softy and Dick, why do we even care what the coffee fetcher's opinion is?
Ooh, who's the
Go
coffee?
Hawks.
Me.
Who's the coffee fetcher?
Oh, wow.
Like Feltz fetch.
He's talking about you?
Yeah, I think
Wow,
so.
That's kind of cold.
Mean.
Very mean. I would just say this, that how many years now, I mean, how long have you and I been working together for here, Jackson, on this radio show?
You and I, about a year and a half.
Year and a half?
Make sense of this.
Not once has he gotten me coffee. Not once.
Do you drink coffee?
Yeah, I love coffee. I drink coffee every morning. Not once has he's never got, actually not once has he done anything for me since he's been here.
Oh,
I don't, you know, that's never gotten me lunch, never gotten me a soda, never gotten me a snack, he hasn't gotten me jack squat. So really, I don't know what you're even doing
like,
here. Why is he here?
Doesn't getting coffee, that whole intern getting coffee for somebody, isn't that like so 1982?
Well, you're assuming that we have a coffee maker in the building. We don't have plastic forks here. We got nothing.
That's true.
We have a toaster oven in the sports pit.
My toaster oven,
by
the way.
That he uses.
My toaster oven.
I come to the sports pit, I'm like, what's burning? I'm making a sandwich. What the hell?
I just don't think I'd ever ask an intern to go make me a coffee. It's like, I can make my own damn coffee.
I think this actually has revealed a bigger problem that I don't know what Jackson even does here.
Uh-oh.
He's done nothing for me.
All right,
what's next?
You should ring a bell every time Mike Florio says PFT.
You want to ring the bell every time, like this bell? That one? Or this one? Right there? PFT Live? Well,
the
look,
self-promotion?
I mean, he's doing the show for peanuts, all right? Really, because from his perspective, it's peanuts. From our perspective, it's a lot of money, but he made it perfectly clear how much money he makes on the radio show. Doesn't know how much money Shane Waldron makes, but he's making a lot more than Shane Waldron. So the peanuts that we pay Mike Florio, if he feels like he wants to mention and pimp PFT while he's on
the
air, then fine, go for it. Makes him feel better.
PFT's good. I mean, if he was pimping something that wasn't any good, I actually enjoy reading PFT.
Yeah. What's next?
I think sometimes these athletes who do these things like Chad Wheeler use the same excuse. I'm off my meds, sure, I'm sorry.
Well, you remember when Earl Thomas went to the Cowboy locker room, he was off his meds, and, you know, you don't want to give him any defense on that. I just think, you know, look, man, it's just like being on, you know, I've been around. My father used to run an alcoholic treatment center back in the day in Ballard. Mm. I have a very good friend of mine who suffers from manic depression. Trust me, the last thing you want to do is make excuses for them, okay? Right. There's a reason why you were prescribed all these meds, and for a lot of them, it's a lot of medication. I know people that suffer from this stuff, and they've got 15, 20 pills a day that they have to take. Sometimes every couple of hours, by the way. It's a pain in the ass. I totally get it. But you got to be disciplined, and I am not. After seeing those pictures and hearing the details of what happened with Chad Wheeler, I am in no mood to give this guy a pass on anything for any reason.
No, and especially when he doesn't have a different story.
I mean,
there's nothing for us to believe from him.
Other than
the truth.
He basically just said, I'm going to step away from football. Well, it's easy because you're not going to get to play football for a while, if not ever.
Easy.
And focus on this stuff. I mean, I mean, why is the guy out on bail? He should be in jail for crying out loud. He's obviously a danger to society. Are you kidding me? This guy nearly killed this gal. And he's walking free? The hell? 455, Hugh Millen going to join the radio show.
You guys had what, Hugh Millen?
Next.